about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What? Okay, what do you want? You want some? Okay, all right. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, yeah?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Saiu bem. Carregou Neymar, arriscou, bateu pro gol. Olha o gol! Olha o gol! Olha o gol! Olha o gol! Olha o gol!
Go interview that guy who's almost falling asleep on top of the stairs.
Which one?
The guy who's falling asleep on top of the stairs.
That guy?
Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't.
Go, dude. Go. Go. Go.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question? How many years do you think it takes to succeed in show business? Thank you very much.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I love women.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ugh, this guy's the worst.
Roll another one.
Such a big liar.
Just like the other one.
I want to have sex with her.
This one seems to be about quitting.
All of these ideas are terrible.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine. I'm cooking.
Roll another one.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Just like the other one.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
This one seems to be about sentiment.
That sounds really constructive.
I don't have another cent.
A tent.
How could a few numbers contain all of time?
They never fail to disappoint.
Just pass it around.
This is amazing. I'm all over this.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Interview. Go.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
Buy yourself a gun, Mom. Because America's going to have to shoot its way out of this.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 13th of June.
Friday the 13th and a full moon today, also for people who are into both of those things.
And for people who are not into both of those things.
It's also, they're still happening. Yes.
Hasn't happened in 14 years and won't happen again for almost another 40, I think, is what I heard.
So the last time for us, most likely.
Yeah, probably so, Lisa. That's probably it. So let's get out there and enjoy it.
Gotta be honest, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh.
I didn't hear that it was Friday the 13th and a full moon in the last 40 years or whatever.
No, it's not going to happen again for 40 years. Yeah.
I think 2049, I think, is what I heard.
I'll be here, but Bean, the world's healthiest person, will not.
That's true.
Dare you? I am the healthiest person in the world.
You don't be long dead.
I know, but the way you're going.
I'm going to live to be 100. Right. I'm telling you right now.
No
hey,
way.
Can you go to, Kevin, you know about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Can you bet on things like that in Las Vegas?
Like your own lifespan?
Yeah.
I don't think you can because you have control over it.
Good.
Right. So but if you said I'm only going to live for 5 years, you could take your life.
Right. I could have totally understand.
It'd be hard to cash that ticket. But
I totally understand that. But what if you went the other way and you said I'm going to live to be 100? You can't.
I don't think
you can't
so.
Do anything about that. I mean,
I don't think so.
You can't force it because I want that to happen. And then I'll be the richest 100-year-old in the world.
Oh, my God. Are you going to be grouchy when you're old? You're grouchy now. Can you imagine?
No,
can you imagine shut in
scary.
Being 100 years old,
dude,
just mumbling about the freaking post office and 7-Eleven, and everybody's like, shut up.
But let me say this, and I know that it is almost impossible, Kevin, for you for some reason at this point to compliment me. But let me say this. If I do live to be 100, I'm going to be a super cool old person.
You're not super cool now.
But to the kids when the kids... are 15, it's going to blow their freaking minds that a 100-year-old knows who Iggy Azalea is or whoever is hot at that time, because I'm still going to want to stay current. So I'm not going to be one of those old people who's never seen what that phone does or who doesn't know what that, you know, who that actor is or
Dude, that TV show.
I'm going to know all the current stuff.
But all of your tweets now reference music from 1968 to 74. That's a good point.
But I'm saying in person, a 16-year-old would come up to me and think that I was a stupid old guy who hadn't been paying attention to the world in 40 years. Yet I will, and I'll blow their mind with knowing what's hot is what I'm saying, because I'll be so current. I'm really looking forward to being the cool old guy. I'm already the oldest guy at Denny's when I go.
Good luck with that. Godspeed. I don't know where to go.
Hey, real quick, let me do this story, because I love this. And I think, has it been a long time since we've done the phone topic of you got banned from a place?
It's been a while, yeah.
Story in the news about a Dodgers fan, of all things. His name is Troy Sexton. He's well known on the internet to Dodger fans. He does lots of posts about the Dodgers. He's Troy from West Virginia. And he's obsessed in particular with a former Dodger relief pitcher named Joe Bimel, who's now with the Seattle Mariners organization. Well, he's in the news because he lives in Hurricane, West Virginia, but he drove to Cincinnati, to the Great American Ballpark there, to see a game this week. Well, he had been banned from the ballpark for life 6 years ago. He was arrested as part of a huge fight that broke out,
right,
and he was drunk and disorderly. He got arrested back in 2008, and they said, that's it. You're out of here. You're banned from the ballpark. And we always hear about these people who are banned from a place for life, and I always wonder, how do they know?
Yeah, like 6 years later, I would expect him just to prance right in and no one would ever find out.
Yeah. I mean, do they have that kind of facial recognition software where they're scanning every person at every game? I can't imagine that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've got a board up at K-Rock that has four or five people and their faces and names and everything like that, and they're supposed to not be allowed into the building, but that's a limited number of people. At a ballpark? I can't believe they found this guy.
And can we put Beer Mug on that list?
I guess.
Maybe that's our answer.
Reason why we could.
Not allowed in the building.
I like it.
So he shows up at the baseball game Tuesday night, Dodgers-Reds, his Dodgers are playing, and he gets arrested trying to get into the ballpark. It's not like he showed up and got into another fight and then they said, hey, you're that guy. They got him as he appeared at the ballpark. And I want to know how they did it. He's arrested on suspicion of criminal trespassing and obstruction of official business. And then he's accused of trespassing and making threats as they arrested him. So I am just super impressed by that.
Yeah, that's weird. I would have bet any amount of money. How many people see baseball games?
I mean,
40,000?
Yeah, I would say that's probably about right. In Cincinnati, 30,000 is probably a pretty good guess for most games. And 6 years later, this guy shows up.
I would have bet 2 years later he would have been able just to stroll in.
Absolutely. Yep.
Put on a hat, he would have been able to stroll in, I would think.
Yeah, the day after.
So anyway, I'm sure they probably aren't going to tell us how they do it, but or somebody there has got a long memory and sharp eyes or something like that. But his attorney, court-appointed, Amy Williams, says she's reviewing the case. Apparently, he's been obsessed with the Dodgers for a long time. So we'll see what happens. But there you go. There's Troy Sexton, big Dodgers fan, not welcome at the ballpark.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Everybody will be glued to this.
Beer Mug was on the red carpet for 22 Jump Street.
Ooh,
got
my
some
boy.
Interviews. Yep. So we are gonna your boy
Tatum Channing.
Yeah.
And big time interviews, right? Muggs, you got
some people.
Yeah, you got a lot of people.
So I got some people to stop. Although he did at one point say my publicist told me, and I'd just like to source. You have a publicist? The guy who runs the LA Kings Twitter feed,
mm-hmm.
Pat Donahue Jr. is on the program today.
He's hilarious.
He's very funny.
Oh, cool.
And that's rare in sports. Yeah.
In social media for any major company, it's usually just cut and dry, just business and promotion.
They don't even want you to be funny.
No.
Yeah, he has fun with it and does a great job.
Marlon and Sean Wayans will be in the
studio. Sure it's not Marion?
I don't know what you're talking about. It's Marlon. It says here. I said Marion yesterday. Marion. I couldn't read my own writing. Brand new internet roundup. Got the movie beat. We have Lawrence Fishburne.
Love him so much. Love him.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Finally, Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's our friend, Ralph Garman.
Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah!
Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm going to have some fun.
Solo narrowly avoided death yesterday. Harrison Ford, while filming Star Wars Episode 7, was on his spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, when a hydraulic door reportedly fell down and hit him on the set at Pinewood Studio in England.
Wow.
Luckily for Harrison, it just struck him in the ankle, breaking his ankle.
Dude, ooh, that's rough for an old person.
But had he been walking through and it cut loose from its moorings and hit him on the head,
oh boy,
we'd be having a different conversation right now. He had to be airlifted to a nearby hospital. The accident is not expected to stop filming of the movie. They can shoot other stuff while Harrison is recovering. But he did break his ankle, so Han Solo in a wheelchair. Or a hover chair, whatever they have in the Star Wars universe.
Nice job, J.J. Abrams. Way to kill a national treasure.
Ruby
Dee. I don't think he died.
Oscar-nominated actress. Passed away Wednesday in New York City. She was 91 years old. Probably best known for her role in A Raisin in the Sun, along with Sidney Poitier. Or perhaps her Oscar-nominated role as Denzel Washington's mom in the 2007 film American Gangster. She did 111 movies and TV shows in her long career from 1946 to 2013, including a ton of stuff that she always performed alongside her husband, Ossie Davis. Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever. They had recurring roles on the Burt Reynolds TV show Evening Shade. But by all accounts, just an amazing lady, very active in the civil rights movement in the 60s, and beloved by many in the theater as well as in the movie and television community. So, a life well-lived at 91. It is, of course, Father's Day this weekend. Father's Day.
Yes?
Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
For all the fathers out there, have a great day. There was a great article released this week of the top 10 life lessons that can be learned from TV dads.
I only learned from Homer Simpson.
Yep. Well, he's one of the guys on here. Homer
Peter
Simpson.
Griffin.
Homer J. Simpson. Taught everyone a life lesson about work ethic, according to this columnist. Here's the quote. I want to share something with you. The three sentences that will get you through life. One, cover for me. Two, oh, good idea, boss. And three, it was like that when I got here. That's Homer J. Simpson.
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka, in your face. Boo. Who's your daddy?
That was not one of the quotes listed here.
Should have been.
From Tony Soprano, those who want respect, give respect. He's got a point.
Sure.
And my favorite from the old TV program Maverick, starring James Garner back in the 50s. He was always quoting his father, Pappy Maverick. And he says, my pappy once told me if you can't fight them, they won't let you join them. Best get out of the country. I think is excellent advice for anyone. Keira Knightley has a new movie coming out. Looks very entertaining, actually. I'm not a romantic comedy guy, but this Begin Again looks very funny. She says, although she's a high-earning actress, she makes a point on living on just $50,000 a year. The rest she just puts away. Her expenses only total $50,000 a year.
No kidding.
So how much do you estimate she must have in the bank? It's got to be millions.
I can imagine, yeah.
She's not spending a single dime on food. She could eat.
She could eat a couple sandwiches. She says, living an extravagant lifestyle alienates you from people. She said, my most hilarious times have been in the least luxurious places. So she enjoys living like a commoner, like one of us.
Hmm.
They're just like us, celebrities. And I don't want to say I said so, but I said so. This I Want to Marry Harry BS, this yeah. BS reality show,
yeah.
this piece of garbage they put on. Oh, 12 American women, do they think they're going to marry Prince Harry of England and become rotten? Shut up.
It was
worst
terrible.
Idea ever. Fox has canceled it after a few terrible weeks of ratings. They've also pulled the plug on Riot as well, the improv comedy show.
Nice job, Rob Delaney.
They will replace them with reruns of Family Guy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, New Girl, and The Mindy Project starting next week. I Want to Marry Harry was getting less than 1 million viewers a week. It was the lowest rated new show in the history of network broadcast television.
Wow.
No show had ever rated lower on one of the big four networks.
Wow. So every show that has ever been canceled had more viewers than I Want to Marry Harry.
Exactly.
Sweet. That's amazing.
Stupid.
It was
dumb
terrible.
Upset. Stupid, dumb, upset is what it was. Not even loud. It should have been, I Want to Marry Loudy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Tim Allen is 61 years old. Today, Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo is 44. Steve-O, our buddy, turns 40. Captain America himself, Chris Evans, is 33. The Olsen twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley, are 28 years old today. Also 28 is Kat Dennings. She does all right for herself. And actor Aaron Johnson turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The great Lawrence Fishburne on the program today. Also, we have a brand new internet roundup, and 1/16th of the hilarious Wayans family will be here. Marlon and Sean join us next hour. First, though, it's Friday on the Kevin Beach.
In a world.
Too soon? That means it's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What's wrong with you?
Where's our Kevin's in a hurry Omar jingle?
Yeah, really?
I don't have time for your nonsense.
Is there a FIFA game on or something?
Not right this second.
Well, what's going on?
I don't know. I'll take responsibility for
you,
that.
Oh, that's on you?
That's on me.
Okay.
Wait, that was your bad?
My bad.
5 new movies are in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Let's take a look at some of them. Starting with The Rover in limited release. This is an Australian action thriller. Guy Pearce stars. Rob Pattinson's also in this film. 10 years after a global economic collapse, a hardened, ruthless ex-soldier tracks down the men who stole his only possession. Oh, yeah, it's on. He travels through the Australian outback, gets himself a blooming onion. Do they have those at the Outback Steakhouses?
Yes, they do.
So, yeah. But
I feared that was a sex position I didn't know about.
He takes a damaged young man under his wing while they are hunting for these men. Looks like it could be interesting. I love these stark Australian thrills. I've gone all the way back to Mad Max with this genre, and this looks like it could be cut from the same cloth. Here's some clips from the trailer from The Rover.
Turn the car around!
We're not turning around. He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone? He's my brother.
Tell me where your brother is.
He's going south, a long way from here.
Your brother left you to die. You don't learn to fight, your death's gonna come real soon.
Never stop thinking about a life you've taken. What's the price you pay for taking it?
I'm still in control here. There's no harm God won't see me come to.
God feels nothing for you. The only thing that means anything right now is that I'm here. And he's not.
Yeah.
Is it subtitled?
The only thing that means anything right now is I'm here. No,
also opening up this weekend, The Signal. Oh, this looks weird and spooky and
sure
science
does.
Fiction-y. And
love it.
On a road trip, Nick and his two friends are drawn to this isolated area by a computer genius, and everything suddenly goes dark, and then Nick regains consciousness, but he's in this walking nightmare, and things are falling apart and disintegrating, and madness is happening. And when did you hear the signal? And they come and just stuff goes.
Yes, I'm from Earth.
What I'm about to tell you, Nick, you may find a bit disturbing. Can you recall for me the first time you encountered the signal?
The what?
What are you going to tell me?
I need to protect myself.
From what?
Brenton Thwaites and Olivia Cooke star in this film. Olivia Cooke, our little pal from Bates Motel.
We love her.
We love her. And Lawrence Fishburne lends some gravitas to the endeavor.
Talking to him later today.
Hellion opens up this weekend. Aaron Paul, Juliette Lewis. This is a family drama about a motocross and heavy metal-obsessed 13-year-old whose increasing delinquent behavior forces his brother and his aunt to step in, and his emotionally absent father has to step up, take some responsibility for his child, and it looks just heartbreaking and depressing, and there's no way I'm going to see this movie. It just looks horrible. It's horrible.
So for people who've already seen Fault in Our Stars but still feel like bawling their eyes out at the theater, this is their movie?
It's brutal and emotional and it's just, oh, jeez. Aaron Paul, Juliette Lewis, star in Hellion. Here's some clips from the trailer.
You know I can't be letting a 10-year-old boy go unsupervised like you've been doing.
I gotta do better.
Jakey boy, you a kid?
When you go in ready to fire, just drop that in like that, okay?
I'm gonna race next week. I'm gonna win for you and Dad.
I can take care of my boys. I can take care of my kids.
No, you can't. You're a bad father. It's Father's Day weekend. Bad, bad you. How to train your dragon, too.
I rented that last weekend.
How to Drain Your Dragon? Uh-huh. At least we know what the porn parody title is going to be. How to Train Your Dragon 2 comes out this weekend. I don't know if you saw the first one or not, but I loved this first film. And the second film is just as charming. I had a chance to see this film when I was hosting the panel for it at WonderCon this year. Jay Baruchel returns. Kate Blanchett is a new voice in this animated film. Gerard Butler, Craig Ferguson. This is a beautiful film, charming screenplay, great performances, also an amazing 3D. Here are some clips from the trailer of How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Come on, bud. There's a whole other world of dragons out there.
I bet you think you know a lot about dragons.
Can I know you?
No, but a mother never forgets.
Every dragon has its secrets.
Something is coming.
I alone control the dragons.
Dad, there's something you need to know.
Oh, boy.
I know what you're going to say.
You're as beautiful as the day I lost you.
Gerard Butler, Craig Ferguson, also in this film. And lastly, 22 Jump Street opens up this weekend.
Yeah!
The sequel to the hilarious 21 Jump Street. Once again, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are back. This time they're undercover in college as opposed to high school. Schmidt and Janko, their characters, return. Ice Cube, Nick Offerman, also back for 22 Jump Street. In this particular scene, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum here are trying to convince their neighbors across the hall in their college dorm that they're also brothers.
We're brothers, too.
No, he's not kidding. He's serious, really.
Yeah. Jinx bought me a Coke. Oh, snap, man. We're still saying the same thing. This is amazing. Carrots, pumpernickels, glow sticks, twins.
That's crazy. We have that brother connection, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yep.
Pirates, paper clips, baby
bananas.
Beef,
I don't know.
Anger,
words.
Quicksand.
Shoes.
Boom.
Yeah. Not quite as successful as the twins across the hall. These guys just make me laugh. 22 Jump Street. That's the big release for the weekend. However, if you've got kids, I can also highly recommend How to Train Your Dragon 2. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, party people. So Halt and Catch Fire. Yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down. I've watched the first episode and I'm trying to decide if I should keep going, watch something more promising. That's what I love about TV. If one thing doesn't work out, there's always something else. In fact, True Blood's coming back next week. And I never have time to watch everything that I'd like to. Finally watched The Norma Heart. That was great. You know, if you're not enjoying TV, maybe it's not the shows. Maybe it's the way that you're watching them. Maybe it's your cable provider that you don't like. If that's what's happening, it's time to make a change. And you do have a choice of TV providers. Check this out. UVerse customers are actually more satisfied than cable customers. I think it's time for you to be satisfied. Make the switch to AT&T UVerse TV today. You'll discover that UVerse revolves around you, not the other way around, which is the way it should be. Call now and see how you can get the same great price for 2 years. Call 1-877-ONLY-ATT. Visit an AT&T store. Go to att.com/sat.
Next week, the Red Bull Sound Space is going to welcome Linkin Park. You know, we just had Jack White there yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's a great place. Man, you won't get closer to see a big band in a tiny little place than at the Red Bull Sound Space. It's even smaller than going to like the Roxy or something.
Yeah, it's here at K-Rock, and it's a tiny little, it's like a cubicle.
Yeah,
it's basically a salespeople's cubicle that you go into. And you really have to jam in, but
they clear out her desk and then you throw out a rock show.
Right.
Anyway, Linkin Park's going to be in there playing a bunch of songs, including tracks from their new The Hunting Party. That's going to be next week. And we'd like you to be there, and we'd like to give you some tickets between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning. So keep listening. If you're a Linkin Park fan, you won't want to miss that. That's coming up next hour right here on K-Rock.
Ralph Garman told us in the Showbiz Beat that Michael Jackson's kids... all three of them, I guess Prince is 17, Paris is 16, and Blanket is 12. They got an increase from $5 million to $8 million each year, which is crazy.
As their allowance.
They get an allowance of
money to live on.
$8 million. That
seems like more than you would need at like 12, right?
Seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who set this up?
That's
Isn't
a great
there
question.
A trust where you like you're 25 and you get your money and before that it's just enough to house you and stuff? That's crazy.
Well, this was Michael Jackson, so I don't know.
Did he just not make any sort of arrangements?
That's a great question. I'm sure he didn't plan to die at 50.
Yeah.
Who knows? I just am so surprised that the estate is generating this much income. As popular as he has been and as many records as he's sold since he died, my understanding was that he had sold a lot of his song publishing rights, you know, to keep up with his own lavish lifestyle in the later years. I'm surprised that this much is actually going to the family and not to the other people like Sony and people like that. But, I mean, when you hear about the way these kids are spending money, it's going to blow your mind. But we thought, why have us just tell you about it? Why don't we dial up the hotline to heaven, see if we can get our old friend Michael Jackson on the line and talk to him about what's going on with his kids down here on Earth. See if we can tune him in here. Michael?
Hi.
You got us?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, how are you, buddy? It's Kevin and Bean.
Good. How are you guys doing?
What am I hearing right now?
Sleigh bells.
Why?
Christmas.
What are you talking about?
It's June.
It's always Christmas up in heaven.
Oh.
Makes sense.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, Michael, you've been paying attention to what Prince and Paris and the unfortunately named Blanket have been doing down here on Earth?
Of course I keep an eye on my kids and see what they're up to.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about the way they're spending your money?
Well, you can't take it with you.
Right.
That's true. But, I mean, Prince is spending tens of thousands of dollars getting custom-made jewelry made for his girlfriends.
Jammo!
Doesn't that seem a little extravagant for a 17-year-old?
What was that?
That was the worst cash register sound effect I've ever heard.
Why do you have a cash register sound effect, Michael?
Because he's spending a lot of money.
Oh, I see. I guess.
Okay. It's supposed to be like a cha-ching.
Right.
But that's better.
There you go.
That's better. Who's helping you with the sound effects up there in heaven?
There's an angel up here called Omar.
Oh, there's, I see. There's okay. No angel called Omar.
But I think he might be a demon working undercover.
Yeah. There you go.
Prince
too
also,
late now.
Prince also.
No, stop it. Don't try to say it. Stop. You're not saving yourself.
Your son, Prince, also bought himself a $40,000 brand new pickup truck.
Well, he's a rugged guy like his old man.
I don't think anyone...
He loves the ladies, and he's a pickup truck driving man.
That does not represent
just like
you.
I was.
I don't have that opinion
with
of you.
My gun rack when I go hunting.
That doesn't sound like you at all,
I would
Michael.
Rough it out in the tundra. I'd be in a duck blind for weeks on end sometimes.
Paris, who I guess is a girl, is spending six figures to go to a therapeutic boarding school, also likes to buy plenty of gifts for her friends, and likes to buy tons of shoes and athletic gear, which cost a pretty penny.
Yeah, well, you know, Paris, she tried to hurt herself.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh.
So
she had some trouble.
Whatever it takes. Just take, okay. What do you want, shoes? Here.
All right.
Just go and be happy.
Now, Blanket is 12.
Yeah.
Blanket.
Yeah, he's almost a comforter.
12.
He's getting big.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He apparently goes to expensive restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd to me that the 17-year-old and the 16-year-old don't, but the 12-year-old goes to expensive restaurants.
Yes, because he likes to eat.
Okay.
The other ones, not so much.
They don't like to eat.
No.
Hmm. Okay.
But Blanket, keep going, because there's more comedy to be had if you just read the rest of that.
Oh, yeah. It also includes trips to the movies.
Keep going.
Typically, the bill comes to about $500. Also spends
skip on down.
$700 an hour for karate lessons, okay. And a personal trainer.
It's $200, but I applaud the effort.
$200.
At least you tried to read the numbers. We're very proud of you.
How come Michael Jackson can read it easier from heaven, Kevin, than you can with a paper in your hand?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's still a lot, though, $200 an hour, right, Michael?
For karate lessons?
Yes.
His name is Blanket. That's the best money he'll ever spend on karate lessons
yeah,
so he can
point.
Defend himself.
Yeah.
Because he's a 12-year-old boy named Blanket.
Yeah, that's right. True.
He would never stop getting his ass kicked if he didn't take karate lessons. Yeah. It's the only one of the three of them that's making a smart purchase. He should buy himself some Kevlar, and he should buy himself a baseball bat and a helmet. And a big, big black bodyguard to walk around school with him because he's going to get his ass kicked in junior high school.
Yeah, you did leave him with a tough road to hoe with that name Blanket, that's for sure.
That's right. But these kids, it's their allowance, you know. Kids get an allowance for mowing the lawn, for taking out the trash. You give them a few dollars.
That's not a few, $8 million.
You know what my dad gave me for an allowance?
What?
A belt.
Right.
That's what I got.
They also take expensive vacations, 3 vacations a year. They go to Hawaii. They go first class. They stay in a first class suite. They go to Las Vegas. They stay in a penthouse suite.
Mm.
So it does seem like they're trying to burn through your money as fast as possible.
Oh, they'll get there.
They will?
Yeah.
Soon?
Oh, yeah. They'll have a reality show by the end of the decade for sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
But listen, I spent a lot of money, too, when I was on Earth.
Boy, yeah. You sure did.
And
you
look
sure
how
did.
I turned out. I'm happy, and it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. All right, well, you did figure out a way to, for us to get out on a positive note then, Michael.
That's what I'm saying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Friday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What is going on, Argar?
Do you see the opening ceremonies for the World Cup?
I saw some highlights online. I did not see the whole thing in real time.
It was very...
it was crazy and surreal and like a drug trip, wasn't
it? Very inspiring. A lot of very colorful people swinging drums and just having a party.
Dressed up like soccer balls?
Yeah, there was that. At least the sound was mixed so that you couldn't hear anyone singing.
Well, there's that.
In the field. That was interesting.
But you're doing yourself a favor when you book J-Lo to make that sound mix,
how
right?
dare you? That was my favorite moment. It was when J-Lo and Pitbull were supposed to rise up from beneath the stage to sing We Are One. And sure enough, they had just the sweet Spinal Tap moment where the risers stopped around halfway. And you could see just from their knees up, they're sort of standing in a hole singing until Pitbull like climbs out of it. And he pulls Jennifer Lopez up on stage and they continue just to rock the house. So... go soccer?
I will say this, though, because, you know, we've all been counting the ways that Kevin will die or have a miserable time in Brazil when he goes. They didn't appear to have any problems in game one at the stadium.
Nope.
It seemed like everything was working fine.
Yeah, because Brazil won. That's why.
Oh, that's a good point.
Good point.
They did lose power at one point in part of the stadium, though. Did you hear that, Kevin?
I did not.
A bunch of the lights were out. They did have that problem.
Sweet.
Because it was
someone
nighttime.
Stole the light. That's what happened.
The light?
Someone came and actually stole light. That's how bad the bandits are down there in Brazil. Now they're stealing light. Lights were on, but they were just absorbing it somehow, selling it on the black market. Robin Thicke. He's gone bye-bye.
Has he?
Yeah. You know, he's been obsessed with getting his wife Paula Patton back. She called it quits on him.
Yeah.
Allegedly with tales of infidelity involved. And he won't stop talking about her. He talks about her in concert, how he's going to get her back, and how he's not going to rest until they're back together again.
Every TV show he's on, he does a shout out to her, and I love you, baby.
The 2014 Billboard Music Awards, he debuted his new song, Get Her Back.
That's what it was about?
That's what it's
still?
Called, and that's what it is.
Didn't they split up like a year ago or something?
Yes. Now he's gone another step towards becoming an obsessive stalker. His new album will be called... Paula.
Wow.
His new album's called Paula, name of his soon-to-be ex-wife. The couple split up in February after 9 years of marriage. Paula was the one that ended, but Robin won't accept the divorce. He won't sign the papers, won't believe in it. So his new album...
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
His new album will be out on July 1st, and her restraining order against Robin will be filed shortly after that. So two things will drop that week.
Now let's ask Lisa, because she knows girls.
I'm not a girl, but I know girls.
You know girl-esque. Right. You're girl-esque.
Okay.
So you're flattered at first if the guy is making a public attempt to get you back, but at some point it just gets annoying. Is that what we're dealing with here?
Yes, it's completely annoying, and then the fact that he's doing this all publicly is ridiculous.
It's embarrassing for you if you're Paula. Shut up. Okay.
Are you telling Bean to shut up, or you're telling
your fictional boy ex boyfriend? Birthday boy Rivers Cuomo has a new effort. It's going to drop soon. The new Weezer album has a title, finally. They've just announced it.
What color is it?
The ninth studio album has a name. It's not a color.
All right.
It's called Everything Will Be All Right in the End. Come on, Lisa. That's a nice sentiment.
Thinking about it.
I think that's sort of summed up Weezer's attitude in general. Their music is feel-good music. Weezer has been hinting around the name of the album in a series of videos released every Weezer Wednesday, and the final video revealed all this week, including the fact that Rick Ocasek of The Cars produced the album. He already worked on two previous Weezer albums, the Blue Album and the Green Album. There's no release date for this new one yet, but at least we know what to look for when it comes to stores. And finally, Lana Del Rey and I have something in common.
Really?
Yes.
Can't imagine.
Lana Rey said in an interview this week, "I wish I were dead already."
Obviously.
I wish I were dead already.
Yes. She was doing an interview with a journalist named Tim Jones, and she made the observation that her singers, favorite singers of all time, are Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain. The journalist said, "That's weird because they're both dead. That's interesting." And she said, "Oh, I wish I were already dead." He said, "You don't mean that." She goes, "I do. I don't want to have to keep doing this, but I am."
Who's forcing her to do it?
She's got the worst attitude of anybody ever.
He asked if she was referring to making music. She said, "Everything. That's just how I feel."
Wow.
If it wasn't that way, then I wouldn't say it. She said, "Regarding death, I love the idea that it'll be all over. It's just relief, really. I'm scared to die, but I want to die." What the?
What indeed?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Now we're talking about...
She's got a new album due June the 17th, but I say, why bother? And by the way, there are ways.
That can be accomplished?
That you can arrange that if that's really what you wish. So, yeah, she wishes she was dead already.
Hey, I'm just throwing this out there, Ralph, but I just looked it up. Her birthday, she was born June 21st, 1986. So by my math, that makes her 27 right now.
Okay.
Which I think is the magic Kurt Cobain and Amy Winehouse number. So I'm just wondering if she's got plans on joining the club, maybe.
Well, maybe.
That's not a fun club.
Not at all, but if she's so obsessed with rock stars who die at 27, this is somewhat troubling. I feel like Dr. Drew should call the authorities.
Yeah, but she's kind of a dick. So what do you do about that?
One less dick in the world, really, give or take. Where's the harm, what we're saying. And speaking of performers who died young, this fascinates me because the physical resemblance is kind of remarkable. I think it's kind of genius. Tom Hiddleston, who played Loki, of course, in the Avengers movie and the most recent Thor movie, he's going to strap on a guitar and star as country music legend Hank Williams in a new movie about his life. The movie's called I Saw the Light. It follows Hank's life and career until he died from heart failure at the age of 29. That's when he passed away.
Wow.
Cameras will start rolling in Louisiana in October for this film. But if you know Hank Williams at all and you look at Tom Hiddleston, there's a remarkable physical resemblance to these two guys. And I think Hiddleston's a great actor, and I think this could be an interesting film. The Hank Williams story is fascinating.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend. I'm not a country music fan, but even I like his stuff. And just a hard drinking, hard partying, the original sort of country outlaw
bad boy. Is that what killed him?
Yeah.
The partying?
He pretty much drank himself to death. But fascinating story. They already made one movie version of his life starring George Hamilton. It wasn't nearly as successful casting, I don't think.
Yeah, that sounds like that's not a good idea.
This could be a good film. This could be sort of like I Walk the Line was for Johnny Cash when Joaquin Phoenix took on that role. So looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tim Allen is 61 years old today. As I mentioned, Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo starts celebrating today. 44 years. Steve O is 40. Chris Evans, Captain America, is 33 years old. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are 28. So is Kat Dennings. And actor Aaron Johnson is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The very funny Sean and Marlon Wayans join us in studio coming up next here on K-Rock. We got Linkin Park tickets for the Red Bull Sound Space for you this hour. And right now, it's time for a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane, Internet Roundup.
Is that a true statement? You'll laugh so hard till you start spewing? Has that happened?
That theme song needs to go.
Has anyone spewed?
Yes, Dave. Preach.
Yeah,
seriously,
we've
been playing
go.
The goddamn theme song since 1965. The Internet Roundup is where we fight all the best viral videos of the week. We put them in one location for you at krock.com or kevinamin.com. Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. He's actually the curator of the videos. Pretty good batch, I think, this week, don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. It's great.
A lot of reaction to a guy who voluntarily got bumped from a flight in the Las Vegas airport, and it required him to – he had like 6 hours to kill. So rather than leave the airport or go find a hotel, he just decided to hang out at the airport, make good use of his time, and he filmed himself doing a music video of him singing along, lip-syncing to Celine Dion's All By Myself. I think you know this song. Edited it right there on his laptop, and it actually ended up being a pretty good music video of lots of funny things that he did overnight in a basically empty Las Vegas airport. So he put this video up online, and a couple days later, Celine Dion goes online, and she says, "I loved your video. It was great. Next time you got time to kill in Las Vegas, please be my guest and come see me at my show here in Las Vegas." So he's a huge Celine Dion fan. I mean, he didn't do it ironically. He actually loves her. And now he's going to get to go meet her and go see her show. So pretty cool use of his night, I think.
No kidding.
That's bizarro, Kevin.
While we're talking about music, this was the best video of the whole week, and it was just captured on somebody's phone at a Weezer show where somebody threw a frisbee at Weezer's drummer, and he caught it without missing a beat. It's incredible. It just keeps on drumming. Patrick Wilson is like some sort of a ninja. Like, yeah. How did he even do that?
You see the frisbee come in, and he just reaches up and goes, boop.
Catches it, puts it down.
Like it's nothing. Like yep. It ain't no thing.
And one more music video. Sir Mix-a-Lot, the very popular Seattle rapper. I don't know how it happened that he was in performance at Ben Royal Hall with the Seattle Symphony, but he was, and he is singing along with the orchestra, Baby Got Back, and he invites a whole bunch of ladies who come up and just basically shake that ass while Sir Mix-a-Lot does his song.
Where's my fellows? Fellows! And your girlfriend got the butt, tell them to shake it! Shake it! Shake that big old butt! And Baby Got Back!
That's weird.
More people would go to classical music events if there were rappers there.
Absolutely.
The Gay of Thrones update is back. This is Jonathan over there at Funny or Die. We love so much the fact that he does these recaps. He's wearing a tight top knot this week in the recap. And once again, he doesn't know any of the characters' names on Game of Thrones, so he just compares them to what celebrity they look like.
Anyway, it's a motherfucking melee. Everyone is so muddy. I was like, I cannot see who's winning. And then Finding Forrester Sean Connery hides. And then Leah Remini's like, bitch, what are you doing in my walk-in fridge? And then giant Marie Sindak Kenny Rogers is like, excuse me, housekeeping.
Honest trailers are back. They can make any movie, no matter how great it is, sound terrible. And this time, their viewers demanded that they do The Lion King, which, by the way, is celebrating its 20th anniversary this week. The
wow.
Lion King came out 20 years ago this week, and here's what Honest Trailers did with it.
And the song that fools us into thinking these animals live in harmony.
Nah!
By the way, you should also see this video because they point out something that I had not heard before, which is that the plot of The Lion King is exactly the same as the plot of Frozen.
I did not realize
really?
That either.
Yeah. I didn't realize either, but if you watch the video, they'll point out all the similarities. It's pretty cool. Father's Day is this weekend, and R.J. Mitty, he's the actor who played Walter White Jr. on Breaking Bad. He recorded a very special video to his TV dad, Walter White.
Instead of spending your dying days with your wife and children, you chose to spend them spraying a white supremacist drug syndicate with an automatic machine gun, which was f***ing awesome. I mean, what other dad could rig an old Mexican cartel leader's wheelchair with a bomb that blows up a chicken franchise-owning drug dealer, ripping his entire face off? My TV dad.
Walter White.
Spoiler alert.
No kidding. What a touching tribute to Walter White, though. Orange is the New Black. How far are we into season two? Dave, how many have you watched?
I'm at episode 9 right now.
How about you, Lisa?
I haven't started.
Oh, I hate you.
You're so weak, Kevin.
Yeah, I haven't started yet.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's so good. So good. We had actress Uzo Aduba in here last season. She plays Crazy Eyes on the show, and she did a very funny video where she auditions for every other character on Orange is the New Black. And it's just insane to see her playing all these other characters, including this one. I think she's doing Poussey.
My name is Poussey. Accent a droit, bitch. It's French. Skate, skate. Je suis avec le français. Français, hey, bitch. Yeah, you understand that? Skate, skate.
None of that was French.
It is. C'est la merde, bitch. No, y'all. Skate, 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 skate.
Are you doing Lil Wayne?
It would actually be Little John, but okay.
two more videos in this brand new internet roundup, and they both come from our friend Jimmy Kimmel. He does that segment on his program called Ridiculous Questions With, and this time he's talking to Kobe Bryant.
If you could fly, would you go to the bathroom in the sky, or would you do it in private?
I'd go in the sky.
I'd go in the sky, too.
Yeah, right?
I'd go every place.
Right. Just from one see how many cars you can hit.
I actually like Kobe in this video.
That's funny.
We're talking about poop. Yeah.
And finally, last Sunday night, they world premiered a brand new video from Psy, the Gangnam Style guy, and Snoop Dogg. It's a brand new song that they did together, and they both appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel NBA special. And Jimmy had a great idea. Hey, let's go out and do some karaoke together. And that's what they do. They went to an actual Los Angeles karaoke place, and Psy does a Snoop Dogg song, What's My Name, and Snoop Dogg tries to sing Gangnam Style and does a horrible job. And then Jimmy Kimmel wraps it up with singing a little That's What Friends Are For. But the three of them are on stage in front of an actual audience doing karaoke, and it's great.
From the depths of the sea, back to the top.
There's Snoop trying to do side.
What are they doing?
It's a great video. You get a chance to see Jimmy, Jimmy's mom driving the van to take him to karaoke, and also Jimmy playing clarinet on stage.
We told Jimmy 15 times, don't tell people you play the clarinet.
And now he just pulls it out every opportunity he gets to play it on stage. Anyway, a great roundup.
And
you can see
let's
it all.
Not forget the best video in the bunch, Bean.
What's your favorite, Dave?
The kitten turned down for what video?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Mine and Kevin's favorite video.
I hate that so much. I hate these cats. I hate you.
These two cats, I guess they're off camera.
Tulip and Daisy.
Shut up. Or something like that. But these cats are just shaking that ass to turn down for what?
In unison. It's awesome.
It's pretty darn incredible. You can see all these videos and so much more at KevinAndBean.com or KREC.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Comedians, actors, writers, producers, brothers, Marlon and Sean Wayans join us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. It is awfully early for you guys to be up and talking to us on the radio. What happened?
Never mind the early. It's the cold.
It's the cold.
It's you guys at home. It's freezing cold. And it's white hot in here.
We do like to keep it about 60. So that we stay awake.
This is not 60. This is 1960s when they turn on the water hoses. And
I feel like maybe you guys have been living in Los Angeles too long because you have that super narrow range of acceptable temperature.
Well, we grew up in New York City, so we do have a thick skin, but
we grew up in New York City with poor. So we didn't have gloves our whole childhood. You know what our gloves was? This. We had project gloves.
We blowing our hands.
That's it? We'll rub our hands together like flies.
We used to play football, and I wouldn't take my hand out of my pocket. Like, I'd rather get hit in the face with the ball.
You're a receiver. They throw it to you and just bounce off.
I'm dead serious.
Catch the ball!
I'll be bouncing on my head like soccer until we got to the goal.
We actually used to wear socks.
On your hands?
Yes. My dad's socks, and boy, did they stink.
Oh.
My dad's feet smell like popcorn.
Oh.
Popcorn and fish.
Yeah, it does.
That's a terrible, terrible visual.
It's weird. Poor mom,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
She kicked them out of the room for so many years.
So if you're,
how they had 10 kids. If they had two, I would understand. 10.
If you're dying in an air-conditioned room in Los Angeles, what must it be like when you guys have to travel to work around the country when you do have to sometimes go someplace cold? I mean, you guys do stand up all over the place. I'm sure you find yourself in Cleveland in February sometimes.
The coldest place we've been, we went to Calgary. in February.
Calgary in February.
It was so freaking cold. Like, when we got out of the airport, it made us cough.
That's not good.
Like, it constricted our lungs. As soon as I walked out, you just go...
And then your breath freezes and falls to the ground?
Like a
cartoon?
Like the Terminator. Then comes back apart in the summertime.
I knew something was up because when we was leaving, there was three black people looking at us like, you sure you gonna go out there?
They were actually frozen like lawn jockeys right at the airport.
Sean and Marlo Wayans are here on the Kevin DeBate Show because they're doing a stand this weekend at the Brea Improv. You've got a bunch of shows. You already played last night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did last night.
Two shows tonight.
Yes.
Two shows tomorrow night.
Yes.
And then Sunday night, you can get tickets at improv.com. Tickets start at just $35. How do you do it? Do you guys go out together on stage?
No.
Or does one open for the other?
Well, one goes on before the other.
I go on first. And I piss everybody off.
You kill the room.
Yeah, he talks about all the divisive topics, sports, religion, politics, and then he goes, now it's time for Sean.
Now Sean's going to talk to y'all about love. Good night.
What are your teams, by the way? Who do you what sports do you guys love?
My team's not doing too well right now. And I'm not talking about the Rangers. My team, the Heat's not doing very well.
What is going on?
You know what?
LeBron headband too tight.
I think that if you really look at it, they're being outcoached and they're being outplayed. They just San Antonio is just executing. They're throwing the ball around. They're passing and sharing the ball. Miami got a bunch of great one-on-one players, but not everybody's stepping up.
Yeah.
LeBron can't do everything. And so they're going, you guys, LeBron's not going to beat us. Your team better step up. LeBron, he's going to have 8 turnovers if he holds the ball too long. So LeBron got to work on more assists. And Chris Bosh got to grow some bees because right now they pushing him around. You want to score? Just go to Bosh.
Now, here's my question. Dwayne Wade, is he past his prime? Because it seems like he used to be able to dominate a game by himself.
I think Dwayne Wade's doing good for his role. You know, Dwayne's doing a good for his role, he's doing, but look, they rested him most of the season. Now, obviously, you know, his knees are hurting or whatever. But look, he's doing the best
How old is Dwayne?
There's Chris Bosh, there's Chalmers, there's Shane Battier, there's all these other role players. They got to play their
roles.
How
old is Dwayne, Mom?
Dwayne's about 30. His knees is probably like 62. He got OJ's old knees.
The last two games, it was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters, though. I mean, it really was. It's almost like San Antonio is playing with the Heat, the way they're just passing the ball to everybody. All five guys are touching
everybody
the ball.
Everybody touches the
you
ball.
You mean like one of them pulled like a ball out of the afro and then played?
Not quite.
Throw some confetti. He threw confetti at LeBron and then dunks it.
Right. Marlon, how did you end up being a Heat fan? You're from New York and you live in Los Angeles.
Because
he follows the Heat.
Yep.
Here's the thing.
Wherever it's hot.
No. Unlike this room.
You were in the Heat. Of course, you're in the movie. So maybe
it's all, synonymous.
Right.
Here's the thing. I quit teams after several years of loving the Knicks. I realized, and this was back when they wore those tight pants that made them have mammal toe. I realized then that to follow a team is just too much stress. Like, I would have no hairline. I have
you'd
a hairline.
Be like Spike Lee. Gray,
I have a hairline like Walt Frazier if I was worried about if the Knicks was going to win. So I started liking players, and it started with Isaiah Thomas, and then I love Michael Jordan. I love Michael so much. I even rooted for him when he was on the Wizards, and he was like, it wasn't Air Jordan no more. It was like,
he was,
you know,
Floor Jordan.
Floor Jordan is hilarious. So after he retired, I skipped the whole Kobe era, and I became a Laker hater. And then when LeBron came, I was like, that's my guy.
Okay.
So I love LeBron.
Which, by the way, I had some guy tweet me, I'm not a fan of these guys. They don't like the Lakers. I'm like, I don't like nobody. I don't follow sports. Why are you tweeting me?
I love the fact that the way you said the tweet, you read it like he was a Hispanic guy.
Hispanic
people, Mexicans love the Lakers. I hate all Laker fans except for the Mexicans. You know why? Because they are the real fans. If the Lakers are down 100 points, the Mexicans are going, they can still come back, bro.
Like, they believe, like, even when they're not in the playoffs, they're rocking their purple and yellow. It don't match nothing in the city. But they rock it. So I got nothing but respect for my Latino fans.
Yeah, well,
they love you, they love you.
Stop texting me angry stuff. Just, I don't follow sports.
All right, don't hit at Sean underscore
it's Marlon
Wayans.
Hit who loves
at Marlon Wayans.
To hate on the Lakers.
I'll curse you out, and we'll have a good time.
Good. All right. Excellent. See the guys on stage tonight at the Brea Improv. Sean and Marlon Wayans. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, one show Sunday. Tickets available through improv.com.
Next week in
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Next weekend at the Fantasy Springs Resort in Indio, this is a special event. Next Saturday night, June 21st, the first time ever that all four brothers will be doing a show together, ladies and gentlemen. So that's Damon and Keenan and Marlon and Sean, and those tickets are available at fantasyspringsresort.com. Just $39. Both great, great shows to check out, the guys. Quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Marlon and Sean Wayans in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are appearing together at the Brea Improv all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at improv.com. Hey, how is it that next weekend in Indio at the Fantasy Springs Resort, how is it all four of you guys are working together for the first time ever? It seems like you would have had a lot of opportunities to do that in the past.
It's very hard to get any four black people to do anything. History will show you that look at the Four Tops, how many times they broke up. Look at the audition. There's always a Bobby Brown.
What it is honestly, we haven't all, even though we all do stand up, all four of us have never been doing stand up at the same time. So it's either one of us has been doing it heavy and other people have been on hiatus chilling. So now we're all doing it at the same time. And we
oh, that's
like, yo,
fortuitous.
This is bucket list type stuff. We got to go do this.
Do you have competition amongst yourselves, sort of? Like, you want to show the other guy up?
I love my brothers. It's funny. I never try to be funnier than my brothers. That's not my goal. Especially, like, to me.
So you hold back?
No, I never do that. Because if one guy is really funny, it makes the other guy step up. Because we're all equally as talented in different kind of ways. But yeah. I don't ever want to be funnier than my brother. Like, when people come to me and go, you're funnier than your brother, that's like the worst compliment you could ever give me. Because
by the way, that's not the worst compliment you could get.
It really is. Because it makes you
say you're uglier than your brother. That's
right.
I can't accept that because I don't want to be better than my brothers. I just to be funny is good enough. I'm in the brotherhood of funny. Those are my comrades, my brothers. I love them to death. I don't want to be better than. I just want to be amongst.
Who's the Bobby Brown of your family?
That would be me. You don't know if I'm going to show up. You don't know what's going to happen. I may throw a chair in the crowd.
We have had
Molly Sheen right there.
And Whitney. How about that?
We've had your nephew, Damon Jr., on a couple of times.
Junior!
Now, that guy's hilarious,
Junior,
by the way.
Junior is hysterical.
He's killing it on New Girl.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's so funny that they put him on two shows at one time. He was on New Girl and Happy Endings at the same time. It was like it was weird. It's like every time a black guy in one of their shows like gets hurt or something, Damon's the guy that got to get.
If he was around in the 70s, they would have made him the third Lionel.
Lionel, yeah. He definitely would have been Lionel. And the third Barney Rubble.
Right.
Speaking of comedy, I have to ask you guys this week because I know you guys are friends with Dave Chappelle.
Chappelle.
He has been slowly making a comeback, doing more and more shows, and now it seems like he's almost back for reals because he's doing that big stand at Radio City and everything. And he did that interview on Letterman this week, and I assume you guys saw
it. I didn't see it.
I saw it. He was hilarious.
He was at the top of his game. I mean,
I didn't see
it. You know what's crazy? Dave's one of those guys that stays at the top of his game. Dave's as funny. He's like Eddie Murphy.
Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he ain't working.
He's like one of those guys, like Eddie, like Damon, or like, you know, when you get to a certain level of comedy, you're funny when you feel like being funny. Dave Chappelle is one of the funniest guys you'll ever talk to. So, you know, it's not that he went away. It's just, you know, he didn't feel like being funny. He just wanted to take a break and just go be
it's
Dave.
It's crazy that he's got a light switch like that where he just goes, not now, but now.
Yeah, but Dave's, if you know Dave, Dave's always been like that. We used to call him Pilot Boy because that's the name of his production, Pilot Boy Productions. Every year, Dave would get a pilot. And it wasn't that the studios would go, we don't want it. Dave would go, I'm out. I don't want to do it.
Tell me about, it's so interesting, Marlon, to hear you say that, because I guess I just am a victim of what I have access to in the media, and the impression that I get is he's, you know, been this wounded, damaged animal at home, and he's just, barely crawling out of the cave, but in reality, it's just what he wants to do, and he does it, I guess.
Dave may still be in my house. Let me check my basement.
he's been in the comedy clubs ever since he stopped Chappelle's show, like he hasn't stopped doing it.
Dave don't go to a comedy club, and nobody follows Dave. Why? Because if Dave goes on, he's doing 6 hours. You know,
all the other comedians.
No matter where it is in the night, he's closing.
Most people sit on a stool. Dave is sitting on that psychology couch. He's laying back and talking to man. It's crazy.
Can you guys tell me, please, about the night that happened last October?
Are you talking about the night at the Comedy Store?
Comedy Store. You know what I'm talking about.
So at the Comedy Store, that was a great night, man.
Marlon, you were there. Sean, you weren't.
It was like you were there in spirit. Bill Bellamy stood in for you. No, I'm joking. But it was dope because me and Bill was hanging out down at the General with our good friend Mark and Eugene. They own a General in downtown. And Kev was in New York, and he was doing SNL. So Bill gets a hit. Kevin Hart and Chappelle and Rock are down at the Comedy Cellar.
So let me stop you right there. Are you following this, Kevin?
Yeah.
So
that's
Kevin
crazy
Hart,
already.
Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock are already at the Comedy Store, and you get a text, Marlon.
I get
come
a text like, "Yo, I hit Kev up. Like, yo, what are you doing?" He's like, "Yo, I'm in town. I'm down at the Comedy Cellar. Yo, come down here." So I go down to the Comedy Cellar, and I get up there, and Dave's on stage. So Dave brings Chris on stage. So him and Chris are talking, and then they hear that that me and Bill are there. At first, they call Kevin back up. So it's the three of them, and they hear me and Bill are up. So they call me and Bill on stage. And then, so it's the five of us on stage, and who's the dude from The Roots? Questlove gets there, and he's playing piano instead of drums, which is weird. And we're all on stage, and we start kind of just joking, snapping on each other. You get five comedians together. It was like hanging out at like Jerry's Deli after everybody went on stage, right, and you're all talking about your set.
It sounds like a Wagon's Family Thanksgiving is what it sounds like.
No, there would have been enough room on that stage for all of us. But it was dope because Dave was like talking all this smack, and me and all of us was roasting Kevin because Kev, you know, Kev was, man, he had one of the greatest years in comedy.
We know you got another movie coming out.
So it was just like a roast, and then we all started talking about each other, and it was just like a great night in comedy and a celebration of each other and each other's work and respect for each other. And you know, for me, it was like it was one of those classic nights, and you know, it's like
people must have walked out of that club going, "I can't believe what I just stumbled into.
I just can't believe what I just saw. I was like, "Are you serious?" And it's kind of like, you know, it's the thing that helped, you know, feel this tour with my brothers. It's those nights, like, you just don't want to miss it. To see all four Wayans brothers on stage together, who knows, maybe a niece or nephew pops in. It's classic nights that you just don't want to miss. And, you know, it really inspired me to make sure that we do this tour together, because I've always dreamt about doing a tour with my brothers since I was a little boy. And actually to be able to do it and to be able to actually have a set that I built that's strong enough to actually do it, it feels good.
Well, let me give out the ticket info again. For people who want to see Sean and Marlon on stage at the Bray Improv this weekend, it's improv.com. And then next weekend, you're there with Damon and Keenan. That's at the Fantasy Springs Resort in Indio, and that's fantasyspringsresort.com. That's going to be awesome. And real quick before we go, funniest wins.
Yes.
That's new from you, Marlon, on TBS, and this is you kind of pulling up some young comics?
Yeah, this is basically, it's kind of like it's testing comedians in every genre of comedy. So it's not just stand-up. It's stand-up. If you're going to do stand-up, we do extreme stand-up. We take them to, like, a biker bar and have them do stand-up. And it has to be brand-new material. It's all it's testing them as writers, too. So we test them in stand-up. We test them in sketch. We test them in viral videos. We test them in Vines. Wow. We test them in character. We test them in every – and we do a roast, which is hilarious. We do a roast with Ray J. It was off the hook. You got to see this show. It's an excellent show. And if you ever want to know about comedy or have aspirations to be a comedian, this is definitely a show that you want to watch. It's different than any show that's ever been done about comedy. So check it out. It's on TBS. June 20th, we premiere.
That's a week from tonight.
That's next Friday, right?
Oh, wow. It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, check it out. 10 p.m.
No, he's like, check it out.
Follow me on Twitter.
I'll be in Palm Springs.
Follow me on Twitter @Marlon Wayans, Instagram @Marlon Wayans, and on Facebook. Facebook, like my page, Marlon Wayans, and I'll give you all the info about all that I'm, all that we're doing. And thank
and
you.
And Sean, when can sports fans reach you? How can they follow you?
You can follow Marlon.
Smoke signals.
Him, yeah, tell Marlon all the stuff.
If you have a rotary phone, if you have AOL dial-up, please. Yes. Holla at Sean.
I have a Twitter.
Sean, yeah, what's your Twitter, Sean?
Sean_Wayans. That's all I got.
You guys are awesome. I can't believe it's been so long since we had you, and let's do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Thank you guys so much.
All right, thank you guys.
I didn't take it. Just because you can't keep track of a marker doesn't mean we took it.
You thieving bastards.
Sorry.
It's Can a we world move on?
Yes. Sorry, now Bean's got some place to go. Sorry.
World hates.
Do not interject any energy of fun into this show. It will not be tolerated.
Can we move on?
Beer Mug was on the red carpet.
I don't like to put up with this nonsense.
22 Jump Street. We got those interviews coming up for you next half hour. Also, the great Lawrence Fishburne joins us. And perhaps on the day that the Kings win their second Stanley Cup, we're going to be talking to Pat Donahue Jr. He is the man who runs the Kings' hilarious Twitter account. That's all next hour here on K-Rock. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Well, now you've done it, Bean. Hope you're happy. Hey, look at you. Where'd you find it?
It's on your desk.
Son of a bitch. Beer Mug brought me my red Sharpie. I can't do the Showbiz Beat without my red Sharpie.
You were sure yelling at a lot of people and accusing them of stealing
it. We know that. We know that it can't be done.
Ralph,
and so now I have it, and now I feel
30
better.
30 seconds from killing one of us.
It has become a weird fetish now
for me. Yeah, it's strange.
Over the past year and a half or so, it's become a little bit manic for me that I have to have my red Sharpie, or else I can't do the show business.
But the weird thing is you leave it, like, laying around somewhere every time.
Well, it's just a freaking Sharpie.
Right, but not to you.
I think Ralph is turning into me.
I think
that's true.
He's getting closer to me every single
day. I have never been more insulted in my life.
Bean can only write in, is it blue ink?
Blue ink, yeah.
So that's pretty much the same, Ralph.
Again, what I keep telling you, Ralph, we're practically same. Brothers.
You guys
it
are brothers.
It is the
opposite
you guys are
of
twins.
True. That is... a more repugnant thought has never crossed my mind.
Well, maybe you should think about that with some of the choices you've been making lately, like your inflexibility.
You know, people still are hooked on this O.J. Simpson story.
It's insane.
And here's the thing. I thought...
Wait, what O.J. Simpson story? The one from way back?
A while
20
ago.
Years ago
O.J. Simpson got in some trouble, Kevin.
I didn't know if there was something new.
No, this is the 20th anniversary of O.J.'s slow-speed Bronco chase this
week.
And so Wednesday night, Dateline NBC does a special, a retrospective on the events surrounding the death of Nicole Simpson and the waiter, Ron Goldman.
Ron Goldman.
And what happened and the evidence, and they talked to Lang, the lead detective on the case, and they showed never-before-heard interview tape while he was being initially cross-examined by the cops when they brought him in. I mean, and I came across it, and I started watching, and I was riveted. But I said, this is ridiculous. Who's watching this besides me? I mean, I stumbled upon it, and I got sort of sucked in. But who really cares about this case 20 years later? Well, turns out I was not alone.
Really?
Huge ratings Wednesday night. NBC won the night.
Whoa.
No kidding.
Dateline NBC, the O.J. Simpson story, 6.2 million viewers tuned in to watch that.
Wow.
Ralph, I was on NBC.com this morning for some story. I don't remember what it was. And they have a list, a sidebar about their most popular stories. The top five stories were all O.J. Simpson related. The top five most popular stories on NBC.com right now.
I really thought this was sort of a one-off. Like, oh, this is an odd choice, but I'm kind of interested. I'll stick around and watch this. And it turned out America felt the same way.
Big cheer for O.J.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
One interesting fact about the show is that a guy named Michael Pulwer bought O.J.'s Bronco. Actually, it wasn't even O.J.'s. It was Al Cowling's Bronco that they were driving at
the
slow
chase.
The white Bronco, yeah. Snapped it up for a reported $75,000 after the civil trial. And he says he gets about a dozen requests a year from people or organizations who want to rent it and have it at their events.
That's
isn't that odd.
Weird.
So,
yeah, we're having a bar mitzvah next week. We like O.J.'s.
So, what's the theme for your bar mitzvah?
Well, Rabbi, I'd love it to be the O.J. Simpson murders.
I know a guy who will rent you the Bronco. We drive you up in it and you get out.
You're, first of all, in blackface. Go with me here.
Oh, no.
We have your sister playing Nicole. And then the Goldberg boy. He can be Ron Goldman. I like it.
I don't care if they committed 100 crimes, if they committed 100 murders. How can anybody be against that?
That's true. How can anyone be against
that? That is a good question.
You know what else is a big hit? This Duck Dynasty, this freaking Duck Dynasty.
Still?
I thought they ran everybody off by hating the gays.
The sixth season premiere of Duck Dynasty was cable's number one show on the night, according to Nielsen. 4.6 million viewers. Now, it is 45% off of the fifth season premiere last January, so it's dropped by almost half the viewership.
All right, so
it's
on its way.
4.6 million viewers for a cable show is insane.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Yeah, yeah, sure they are.
That's a thing.
Sunday, it's Father's Day, so be nice to the dad in your life. Although, you know, this week I've probably been more father this past week than I have for the entire previous 4 years of my daughter's life. Because my wife is out of town.
Yeah.
And so all of the responsibilities of parenting have fallen upon me this week.
Is this the first time you've been solo daddy?
In terms of, like, having a full-grown child, no, not full-grown, obviously, but a four-year-old is very different than, like, an infant.
Right.
I've watched the infant for days at a time when my wife's had to go places and stuff, but this is the first time I had, like, a fully formed person on my hands.
Yeah. But you still breastfeed.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Good.
If you don't keep it up, you lose it. And so this is, I've probably done more parenting in the past week than I have in total for the 4 years of daughter's life at this point. It's freaking exhausting. I've never been more tired emotionally and mentally spent before in my life than I have been this week. So I realized on Sunday what you should do if you're a father is just give your wife something. That's what you really should do. On Father's Day, give the mother something, because what they do every day on a daily basis, day in and day out, with little of no recognition. Yes, I know we have Mother's Day, but give them something on Father's Day too, because that means you get to do other things that aren't that, and it's brutal. It's a brutal, brutal job. It's wonderful, and I've been loving it, but at the same time, it is it's maddening. It's crazy.
You'll never be well rested again.
It's craziness. I can't imagine. I'm gonna have to give her a gold watch or something when she gets home, because like she does this every day. It's been madness. So yeah, be good to your dads out there, won't you? Today's celebrity birthdays: Tim Allen is 61 years old today. Weezer singer Rivers Cuomo is 44 years old. Listener wrote in and said, "Wasn't there a time when Kevin thought that River Phoenix was Rivers Cuomo? Mm-hmm.
No, nope.
wasn't that a confusion at one point?
Uh-uh.
And that struck a chord of recollection for me as well. But we've been trying to track down that moment with, and we can't seem to find it anywhere. But we're going to keep working on it.
I think we've put enough information.
Erasing your moments now.
I'm trying.
That's what's happening.
Kevin's hacking into the system. Steve-O is 40 years old. Chris Evans, Captain America himself, is 33. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, 28 years old. Kat Dennings is 28. And Aaron Johnson, the actor, is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I don't see him on the phone. Do you see him on the phone?
I do not.
Let me congratulate this winner then for Linkin Park and the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Joe Lopez from West Covina is going to be seeing the band. It is next Tuesday they are going to be there. And that's the same day that the new album called The Hunting Party is available in stores and for download. If you want details on the show, if you want to be in the Red Bull Sound Space to see one of the biggest rock bands in the world up close, you can go to krock.com, get a chance to enter there, and of course keep listening. We have more tickets you can win this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, King of Mexico, tell me what's going on, because I can do Beer Mug's red carpet interviews here. If we need to.
They are looking for Mr. Fishburne. Apparently, he is having some phone issues.
Okay.
Let's do Beer Mug. Who's
Get
with
Ralph
me?
In here.
No? Bean? Yes?
We can, yeah. I'm a little bit concerned that then Mr. Fishburne gets on the phone and then we get Beer Mug us interrupt us.
All right. Well,
I can tell you guys a creepy, crazy story.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Is it true?
It's 100% true, and it's going to be the type of story that everybody has had a – oh, he's calling on the phone right now.
Nope,
everybody's had a weird coincidence that has happened that there's no explanation for, and you just sit there and you just shake your head and you go, I just don't have anything to say about that because there's no answer. There's no – it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
A couple nights ago, I was went down a YouTube rabbit hole on Jack White because we were getting ready to interview Jack White for The Breakfast With. And so I start watching videos, watching, interviews that he's done and music videos and things like that, just kind of, getting up to speed because I knew we were going to be doing the interview. And I was watching the video that he did of the song that he co-wrote and produced for Loretta Lynn, the great country star called Portland, Oregon, a great song they did together. And he ended up winning a Grammy for it and everything. So you with me so far?
Yep.
Sitting there.
Yep.
I'm in the hotel. I'm on my laptop. I'm watching the video for Jack White singing Portland, Oregon. In the middle of the song, my cell phone rings. It's not weird. In the middle of the song, my cell phone rings. And I look down, and it's a number I don't know calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yay!
A 503 number from Portland, mother effing Oregon that I don't know. I don't know anybody in Portland, by the way. In the middle of me watching the video for the song Portland, Oregon. What am I supposed to do with that?
Answer it?
Did you say hello?
I didn't answer.
Well, that would have been my...
Was the call coming from inside the room?
But isn't that freaky, though?
It's not that freaky.
It's super freaky.
Better if we'd known who it was.
If it happened 3 minutes earlier or 3 minutes later, it wouldn't have happened while I was watching the Portland, Oregon song. But that's
crazy. This is so easy not to be crazy by picking up the phone and saying hello. You would have had the answer to that. It wouldn't have been
out.
This great unsolved mystery in your life.
I was just too freaked out. I'm just telling you. I just think the fact that
wrong with you?
Somebody calls you from Portland while you're watching the song Portland, Oregon. I mean, come on. That doesn't blow your mind?
No, it doesn't.
That's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, you need better experiences.
I just was wigged out. What's the story of Mr. Fishburne? Do we have him?
We do not. Dave?
I'm on hold. They're trying to connect him right now.
All right, we need to take a break. So
the call was from Portland. May never leave my house again.
Well, wow! I'd hate to see you not get those two trips a year. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back.
Okay.
It might be Lawrence Fishburne. It might be Muggs Interviews on the red carpet of 22 Jump Street. We'll let you know.
It's very exciting. Some actors, Kevin, that just make every project they're in just that much better. You see that they're in the movie and you go, I'm in. I'm going to see the movie. And our next guest has been making movies great for about 35 years, from Apocalypse Now all the way up to this year's Ride Along. He is back with a new film opening everywhere this weekend. It is called The Signal, and he is Lawrence Fishburne, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. Fishburne, what a thrill, sir. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. What's going on, guys?
Well, it's our pleasure to talk to you. This Signal has been described as a souped-up Twilight Zone or X-Files. So you've got my money, sir. This is right in my wheelhouse.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, actually, 40 years ago, it would have been an episode of Twilight Zone. I guess 30 years ago, it would have been an episode of X-Files. It's really a freaky, strange, beautiful, whimsical movie. I love it.
I just, these days, so often with trailers, the complaint is they give the whole movie away. I've watched your trailer a half a dozen times. I still don't know what the F is going on.
That's good. That's the way we want it. We don't want you to know exactly what's going on until you need to know.
So,
and that would be after we've gotten your money and gotten you in a seat.
Well, that's going to happen. That is going to happen. So,
awesome. So
tell me your role in this movie.
Well, I play a guy named Dr. Damon. Basically, the movie's about three young people who are hackers, college types, and they are engaged with some strange other hacker on the internet, and they've been challenged by this guy, and he's messing with them. So they decide to take a road trip out west and confront him, and they get out west in an abandoned village, and they get abducted. And when they wake up, they find themselves in an underground military Area 51-ish type installation, and I'm there in a hazmat suit, and I'm a doctor, and I'm saying to them that they've been abducted by extraterrestrials, and they've been contaminated. They've been somehow altered, and we want to get to the bottom of it and figure out what happened to them.
So you're the man. You're literally the man.
I'm just the big head scientist.
It just, I mean, it reminds me so much of movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, it seems to have that same kind of a feel, that same kind of a build, and you know, like, something's coming near the end of the movie and you can't quite figure out what it is. But tell me about this. I don't know much about your writer-director, William Eubanks. Obviously, he had quite the vision. Tell me about him. What's his deal?
He's a really, really smart cat. He's a great young filmmaker. Basically, he made he was supposed to make a video, and the plans for that got scrapped. So he took all the material that he had gathered to make this video and made a movie in his parents' backyard. And the movie is called Love. Half of it takes place on a space station. The other half, believe it or not, takes place during the Civil War. And the movie looks like it was made for, you know, $8 million, when in fact it was only made for a fraction of that, like less than, you know, $200,000 or something.
Wow.
So Will Eubanks has an incredible visual style that I liken to Stanley Kubrick and Steven Spielberg. It's great that you mentioned Close Encounters.
I was going to bring up...
But not in a bad way, like in the best way, you know?
I'm sorry, I was going to bring up it looked like a super unique style. And I didn't know why that was. I was going to ask you that question, because when you watch the trailer, you go, okay, this looks cool.
Yes, exactly. No, he's got a wonderful visual style. He wrote the script with his brothers, and I was just intrigued from it from the beginning. I'm a big science fiction fan, as most people know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an absolute fiend about Rod Serling's Twilight Zone and Rod Serling's Night Gallery and the writing of people like Sterling Siliphant. This thing harkens back to those days, but it's contemporary and it's really, really fresh. The young actors in it, Brenton and Olivia and Bo, are all really, really wonderful young actors, and I think people will really enjoy them.
This is the voice of actor Lawrence Fishburne here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about his new film in theaters everywhere. It is called The Signal. You know, it's funny, Lawrence, you talk about how you've been a big sci-fi fan. So what was that period like for you, those years that you were Morpheus? I mean, to be at the center of one of the great sci-fi franchises of all time must have been so unbelievably satisfying for you.
Absolute dream come true to play that character, and you know, it's changed my life, obviously, for the better, and I'm enjoying, you know, I just love that people love that movie as much as I do.
Speaking of things you're in, you are between season 2 and 3 of Hannibal right now as well.
Correct.
Which we are all obsessed with, and we were so happy to hear it renewed for another season, but so shocked because I don't remember the last time a network show, maybe Fringe you could say, was as challenging as Hannibal is. But I mean, you talk about not dumbing it down for the audience and making you work for it. Hannibal it's like a David Lynch movie every Friday night.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm glad that you guys enjoy it because, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I was an avid KROQ listener back in my youth.
Did not know that.
You're allowed to listen now as a grown-up, too, you know, Lawrence.
Well, I know I could, but, you know, my kids might look at me kind of funny.
I know you can't tell us anything about this, but, you know, Jack ends up in a very bad place at the end of season 3. Do you know who's coming back for the next the end of season 2, you end up in a bad place. Do we know anything about next year?
Everybody ends up in a bad place other than Dr. Lecter himself. So, all I can tell you is that there is a season 3. I don't know who's coming back, and I don't know who's not coming back because I haven't seen a script.
Okay.
So
let's start.
I'm not really sure.
Are you coming back?
Could be.
I mean, they left a lot of people on the brink of life or death, and even from a plot standpoint, clearly Dr. Lecter's on his way out of the country, and I'm thinking, how are they going to continue to have you be tracking him if that's the case? I mean, so many questions, so few answers.
No, there's, you know, the ink on the deal is not even wet yet, so we don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right, let me ask you one more Hannibal question, and one of the reasons people love this show is it's food porn. If you can get past the fact that they're eating human beings in half of those scenes, what are those scenes like for you as an actor to shoot when Matz is handing you those beautifully arranged plates? Is it just is it real food that's actually good to eat?
It's real food that's actually been prepared by master food prep, you know, by master chefs, basically. We have a lady who prepares all this food.
But it's human. It's human beings, right?
No.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not feeding us human. Now, maybe Dr. Lecter, in terms of the story, yes.
Okay.
You know, Lecter is feeding us, you know, parts of his victims.
Right.
Sometimes, but not all the time.
Ah.
Because, you know, he's clever like that.
Sure. Yeah. But it's, I mean,
but
it's good stuff.
It's fun.
And when you're acting in those scenes, and some of those dinner scenes are pretty long, I mean, you really have to eat a bunch.
Well, you know, that's when your years of experience comes in really handy.
Years of experience eating?
Yes, eating and eating on camera.
Well, we're so excited to see what happens to Jack and what happens to, you know, to Will and everybody when Hannibal returns. And we couldn't be more excited to see The Signal either. I mean, this really just is so our kind of movie, Lawrence. And we're so happy that you're in it and so happy you had some time to talk to us today, man. I hope it does great for you, and I hope we see you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey, Kings fans, are you ready? Huh? Are you ready? I need to hear you.
We're ready.
I need to hear you right now.
Okay.
Right now.
The game is not
Let's go.
Tonight.
Go, Kings, go.
Okay.
Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go. I can't hear you.
Why can't you hear us?
I'm losing my mind.
Yes, you are.
You need to lose your minds. Let's go.
Ah! By the way, it's hilarious that the Kings bought that space right there by Madison Square Garden to play that video, isn't it? That New Yorkers could see it. Hilarious. Tonight is Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. If it goes LA's way, they will once again be skating the Cup for the second time in 3 years. Kevin, you got your wish. They did lose in New York for that last game.
I didn't want them to lose.
You wanted them to win at home.
I do want them to win at home.
The Kings do so many things right, not just on the ice, but even with their Twitter feed. The man, Pat Donahue Jr., is on the phone, who is the manager of digital media and the voice behind the LA Kings Twitter account, which is so popular that even non-hockey fans around the world are following it. Pat, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate very much having you. We have to give credit to Pamela Chelin, who is a listener to the Kevin Bean Show, who wrote that piece on you on the LA Weekly site this week that pointed out how awesome you have been for so long for the Kings. Tell us, how did you get a great job like this doing social media for a hockey franchise?
To be honest, most people in sports, you start as an intern. And I started doing, grunt work and met the right people and just started, having the right opportunity and just kind of worked my way up.
Is that your whole job, is just managing the Kings online?
Yeah, everything online. So LAKings.com, LAKingsInsider.com, all of our social media, mobile apps, stuff like that.
That's a dream job. Now, did you gravitate toward that because you were a big sports or particularly a hockey fan?
Yeah, I loved hockey. So I just decided, how do I get into this? And met the right people. And it was my dream to work for a hockey team. So and then being able to win a Stanley Cup in my first year was pretty unbelievable. So being here to be able to do it again a year later is pretty great.
Yeah, no,
you've made some poor decisions along the way, though.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Any you care to mention?
Yeah, we've gotten in trouble a few times, but we're lucky that Luke Robitaille and Kelly Cheeseman, they have our back, and no matter what happens, they support what we do, and they love what the Kings do online, and, we're pretty innovative for sports franchises, especially on Twitter, so it's good to have the upper management approval. We're probably the only team that has that.
No, I mean, it's a great organization for the top down. I mean, there's nobody who doesn't have great respect for the way the Kings runs and the way they treat their fans and their players. And the fact that they let you have a personality and a sense of humor is not just rare in sports. It's rare in business. You follow almost any business account, whether it's, Nabisco or Shell Oil, and basically it's just going to be pushing a product. But you have fun and you do so much interactive stuff with the fans. And you take a lot of abuse too from fans from the other clubs too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the things that I've read are, some of the worst things that humans have ever said on the internet are directed at me.
Is that part of the fun?
Oh yeah. I mean, we have so much fun. I mean, you guys probably know the Royal Half is a blogger that we work with.
Sure.
I sit next to him at games, and he and I just, we have so much fun just laughing at you know, each team has a new group of fans that think they're going to be able to take us down. and it just, it never works, because I have the freedom to be able to respond to these people. And me as a club, anything I say is going to trump anything that this individual is going to say.
One of the examples that was in the LA Weekly article that was so funny is you got a tweet from a Canucks fan who was criticizing the Kings for the We Are All Kings slug line. Yeah. So he wrote to you, wrote to at LA Kings on Twitter and said, hey, way to steal your slogan from We Are All Canucks, hashtag failure, to which you wrote back, okay, we'll change you to We Are in the Playoffs, which is such a burn that it's impossible to come back from, because clearly you're tweeting from a better club, which is just, it's hilarious. Now, Pat, who, if you could say, which team's fans are the biggest dicks online to you? I'm going to guess Detroit.
I'm going to guess San Jose.
San Jose, they're funny because we always beat them. So it was like, you know, games 1 through 3 this year were really tough.
Yeah. Right?
You know,
those were some long nights.
The Kings were down by 3 games. That was crazy bad.
It is not easy to run a Twitter account when you're down 6 or 7-1 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Anaheim fans are pretty rough. We always say, like, that they're just not funny. Like, a lot of other teams, their fans can make jokes and kind of they're interesting and fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. Anaheim fans just are, you know, just real simple insults thrown at us.
Oh, yeah, well, you're stupid.
Exactly. You guys suck. We won the cup before you.
Yeah. Yeah. I get plenty of that as well.
Yeah. Pat, how about there's so many celebrity Kings fans. Do you have much interaction with them on Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you know, Retta is one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Oh, she's hilarious.
And I got her to come to a game. She had never been to a hockey game before.
Well, hockey's not big with the black women.
No, not at all. But I brought her to a game, got her a Treat Yourself jersey, and she is the biggest fan imaginable.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Vines,
you know, she vines during the game. She tweets during the game. And she's hilarious. So, I mean, she watches the games on the road. She's at the arena. She's great. But, yeah, I mean, any celebrity who tweets at us positive or negative, you got to take advantage of it just because of the reach.
I know.
Zac Efron tweets at us, and it's 9 million followers, so I got to say something.
I know Eric Stone Street's a big fan. He has season tickets, and he's a great tweeter. Will Ferrell's there a bunch.
Colin Hanks is there a lot. Yeah. I know him pretty well. And then, you know, we get, especially in the playoffs, you know, Steve Carell's there, Tom Cruise is there, you know, those kind of guys.
It was interesting to read that you have people who follow your Twitter account for the humor, and they're not even really hockey fans. That blew my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was reading some this morning, and there were a couple New York Rangers fans who say, like, I don't even like the Kings, but I'm following them just because of their Twitter.
So, Pat, let's talk about tonight in our remaining moments here. 5 o'clock game. Now, they're not showing the game outside there at LA Live tonight, right? Because they're
no. Yeah, okay. It has to be in the restaurants.
Okay, gotcha. You nervous? Excited? How are you feeling today? I mean, this could be another one of those magical nights you'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, I get pretty nervous, especially to be able to, you know, what am I going to say? You know, a million people are going to read it sort of thing.
Right.
Those three game sevens really peaked, you know, they made me so incredibly anxious that this is like, well, okay, you know, we've been through the worst.
Right.
I think we're just ready for it. I think, especially the second time doing this, I mean, I was in New York for game four, and the players, the staff, everyone, they're ready. Right. They've done it. You know, they're going to do it again.
There's
a lot of confidence in this group.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I felt like the Kings outplayed the Rangers, even though the scoreboard we lost. And I was very happy with that.
Absolutely. I mean, and you look at the first two games, and you'd probably say the Rangers outplayed the Kings.
Right, exactly.
And it was just, you know, it's those two pucks on the goal line. It's Gabrick hits the crossbar.
Yep.
You know, it's the bounces, and it's kind of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, they bring the cup tonight. Are you freaking out about it like I am?
I actually saw the box at game four. I saw him rolling it around, so it made it real, and I saw them, you know, the NHL staff rolls the red carpet on the ice to practice the presentation.
Right.
And at that moment, my heart kind of started racing and said, okay, this is real.
Yeah, there is nothing in sports like seeing the Stanley Cup in person. They're just, there's, I mean, as great as the other, you know, Lombardi Trophy and others are, the Stanley Cup obviously holds a special place in all of our hearts. So,
absolutely.
I hope we see it this weekend. We can't wait to be following you, and everyone should be following the Twitter account that Patrick runs. It's at LA Kings, and of course, LAKings.com. You really have made a special season even more special, Pat. So, continued success. Keep up the great work, and thanks so much for the time today.
Great. Thanks, guys. We'll see you at the game.
Oh, this song is the biggest hit in my jazzercise class.
That's not still a thing, is it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Jazzercise.
Oh, he was just sweating to the oldies right there. Okay, you go now.
It's 8:55. This is the world-famous K-Rock, and it is time for the Rough Showbiz Beat.
I'm throwing everybody off today just by having conversations. Bean has no time for it. Kevin doesn't know what to do with it. You're all just confused. You've been running such a smooth, polished radio show
for
so many years.
That is true.
That when you get a little rough around the edge, you get a little sloppy, a little casual, you guys just fall to pieces. You know what to do.
It's a little shocking.
Because you're always so tightly wound, that whole, you know, the polished professional image of yours you're trying to keep up. I'm just saying, loosen up, man. Have a little fun with it.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
All right. Sorry, man. Even the boss doesn't like me. It is time for the Showbiz Beat. Before I get to Showbiz News, however, I would like to give you something because you are nice. Six Flags Magic Mountain Annual Pass. We all love Magic Mountain.
Sure.
It's an entertainment extravaganza. Each and every time you go, you get to go on the Batman the ride. Batman by himself is just awesome. You make him a ride, now you're pitching a pup tent. You know what I'm saying? Colossus. They've got all the best rides at Magic Mountain. There's a few days left. You can still ride Batman and Colossus backwards until June 15th. It's a whole new way to experience these roller coasters. It's a great time. And I would like to give you a season pass to Six Flags Magic Mountain. You can go as much as you want. Thanks to me! This is the best! One winner gets this very special season pass. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number six, since it is Six Flags Magic Mountain after all, gets this season pass. A pair for you and a friend. Take Dad. Take Dad this weekend. It's Father's Day, for corn's sake. Have a heart. Dad would love to go on Colossus backwards. You know, sad news, they announced they're going to dismantle Colossus.
Yeah.
It's the one of the last remaining wooden roller coasters. So enjoy it while you can. That's what I said to Lana Del Rey. Enjoy it while you can. This bitch, what's up? Seriously.
What is up?
She's a nightmare. Here's the thing. This is why a lot of wonderful yet normal-looking women hate the really super attractive.
She certainly has not helped.
Because she has it all going for her. She's marginally talented. She is very attractive. She could just really enjoy a nice life. And she seems just to be crabby.
Obviously.
That comes from an interview we did with her on this show.
Yeah.
Where she said, I edited my own video. And Kevin said, oh, really? Do you edit all your own videos?
Obviously.
I was like, well, wow. Of course, because we're all looking at the editing credits of your freaking videos.
We were shocked. She was not nice.
I disagree, by the way, if I could just throw in an alternate opinion.
Yeah, because you think she's hot, but go ahead.
No, it has nothing to do with her being hot. I think she is often misunderstood. She doesn't do herself any favors with, like, the quote Ralph brought us this morning. That's for sure. She deserves to be mocked for that. But in general,
what about when I asked her if she edited her videos, and she said that?
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, really. How do you defend that?
I don't think she was saying it from a cruel and evil place. I don't think.
No, from an arrogant, pompous place is what she was saying.
I don't think it came. It did not reflect well on her. I agree.
Bean goes out of his way to defend beautiful.
I don't think she meant it by the way that she said those words
came
out of her mouth with all the intended meaning therein.
No. I just said it. I do not think that particular quote reflected well on her. I think in general, though, she is the victim of a great deal of unwarranted internet hate in particular. People do seem to have a Jones against
but
her.
That's possible. How does that happen?
Yes. Where does it come from? It comes from her courting that by her behavior.
I think it comes from a lot of places with her, including hipsters who hate her because they think she's inauthentic. I think that has something to do with it.
I'm no hipster, but she seems like a bitch.
I was just throwing one theory out. There's a lot of hate, I think, for lots of different reasons.
Except
I think
for my monocle and my lederhosen, and I think it'd be hard-pressed to label me a hipster.
Now, for folks who didn't hear the latest thing that she said, though, Ralph, bring them up to speed, because I think this really will surprise
people. Well, I think she's just a victim of internet hatred, because she said in an interview this week that her favorite artists were Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain, and the reporter she was talking to said, oh, that's interesting, because they're both dead. And she responded with, I wish I were dead already. And he said, no, you don't. She said, I do. I don't want to have to keep doing this, but I am. And he said, what do you mean, making music? She said, everything. Shut up. But in fairness, she's just a victim of the words that she says that come out of her mouth that make her a bitch.
Bean, isn't that worse than her words not helping her? Isn't that her just being ugly?
I agreed from second one of this story that she deserves to be mocked for this. I mean, she does look like a spoiled brat, basically complaining about a pretty privileged and lucky life.
I don't Obviously. Want to have to keep doing this, but I am.
Well, don't.
Everything. That's just how I feel. If it wasn't that way, then I wouldn't say it. I would be scared if I knew death was coming, but I'd love the idea that it'd be all over. It's just a relief, really. Shut the F up.
You don't have to choose such an exhausting career if you don't want to do that kind of work.
Oh, and by the way, if I'm not mistaken, she sings!
Yeah, there's that.
You want to talk about exhausting careers?
People who actually work?
Do a day in a coal mine! She has to open her mouth and push air past her vocal cords.
She writes her own songs, too, by the way.
Well, I didn't realize she pushes a pencil on a piece of paper as well.
Obviously.
Oh, and we forgot she does edit all her videos. That must be exhausting. You know, those Avid beds, they're steam-powered. You have to actually pull a crank in order to keep them energized.
Obviously.
I got a buddy of mine back home who's fighting for his life with leukemia. He would gladly trade places with her if she will have it. She wants to go, she can go.
Sounds like she would take that deal if she had it.
I would take that deal, that's for sure.
She's a bitch.
Your defense of her is indefensible.
Look, here's what so often happens on this show. And I don't want to...
I know this show is awful. Don't get me wrong.
Here's what so often happens on this show is that you guys in particular, Kevin and Ralph, are 100% for or 100% against. With so many issues, you're completely black or completely white. And I'm saying she absolutely deserves some criticism for some of the dumb things that she has said. But I'm also saying I think that other things are unfounded and unfair against her. And I think, like with so many other issues, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
Look, I'll give you my unnatural, white-hot cartoon hatred of Taylor Swift. Other than being sort of soft and sort of namby-pamby, and I just have no time for her, she really has done nothing to earn any real sort of negative energy. She seems like a nice enough person. She gives money to charity, and she's pretty, and I find her lightweight and a little self-centered, but who isn't? So that is sort of a comic posture that I take because of your unnatural love for her. I like to poke fun at her. But this Lana Del Rey, she's no victim. She's no victim of internet hatred. She has posed and positioned herself from her name change to her sort of fake persona to her arrogance. She has courted people's hatred time and time and time again. And for you to say she is just being lambasted because of some just random decision people have made to take shots at her on the internet is wildly unfounded.
I understand where you're coming from. There are a lot of people who agree with you.
Obviously.
I mean, she's horrible, but she's no Harrison Ford, that dick. I'm glad he got hurt.
What happened to him?
He was on the set of Star Wars Episode 7 when a hydraulic door from the Millennium Falcon, his own spaceship, fell on him.
Well, it's getting old. It's an old ship.
That's true.
It was old in the
This is
30
years
movie.
Later. It doesn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs any longer. Yeah, one of these prop doors came slamming down and hit him on the leg, which I know it sounds horrible because his leg, his ankle was broken, but it must, that must be a heavy-ass thing, right?
Yeah.
That door.
Yeah.
And had it hit him on the head or the neck or the back or something, I think it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, a broken ankle is no picnic, particularly for a man who's, what, 70 or whatever he is?
Yeah.
65, whatever.
But he's a very athletic, pretty in good shape guy, so he'll probably bounce back quicker than the average 70-year-old.
Not sure that he'll bounce, but all right.
he'll be back. He had to be airlifted to a nearby hospital, and ironically, they flew him to the hospital in the Millennium Falcon, which I think was just adding insult to injury at that point. The accident's not expected to stop the filming of the movie anytime soon, but maybe less Han Solo scenes? I don't know. Maybe they'll just CGI him in. Make a puppet. All right, I'm running very late here. I apologize. Actor Tim.
Obviously.
Sorry, Lana Del Rey. I'm running late. Tim Allen, 61 years old today. Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo is 44 years old. Steve O turns 40 today.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I said. Chris Evans, Captain America himself, is 33. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are 28. Kat Dennings is also 28 years old. And Aaron Johnson, a very talented young actor, is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:45.
Time for one final look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman here on a Friday morning.
It's birthday boy Rivers Cuomo from Weezer announcing that the new Weezer album has a title. The band's ninth studio effort is called
Yellow.
No,
green, red.
Not a color.
It's already pink.
It's already been a green. Mm. It's already been a blue. This one will be called
Hazel.
Everything will be all right in the end.
Those are words, though, not colors.
That's true. Good for you, Kevin. You're starting to recognize words again.
Guys, I don't think, I could be wrong here, but I don't think any of those Weezer albums had colors for titles. I think we just called them that because of what the album covers look like.
Is that true?
I think so.
These they list titles 1974 in quotes as the Blue Album, and night from 2000 the Green Album. They're in quotes in the story. As
they called them the Green.
That's
Album?
That's the name of the albums.
I thought the first one was just called Weezer, for instance, but we all called it the Blue Album. But I could be wrong about that. I just love that band, and I'm so excited they're still together. I'm so excited they have another record coming out. I love them, and I can go to my gas station and buy it for $5.
Bean likes to buy the bootlegs out of the back of a
van.
Here's the research. The album's titles are actually, the ones that we're referring to are actually called Weezer. The name of the album is Weezer.
But
because of the album cover, one being blue, one being green, that's how we popularly refer to
them. Plus, if it's always Weezer, how do you know which one you're referring to?
So we know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly,
All right.
Wow, this is way more time spent on this than I thought we were going to.
But they also had a Pinkerton and a Maladroit and a Make-Believe, and they've had three named Weezer.
More?
Go ahead. Like I said, I'm dead inside. It doesn't really matter anymore. Whatever you want to do. Burn it. Burn the time. Burn it to the ground.
Didn't Peter Gabriel do that, Ralph? Didn't he have all of his albums were just named Peter Gabriel?
Maybe.
Let's think of other people who...
Maybe.
Self-titled album.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, we're having fun now, Ralph.
Yeah. We're all still buddies, right?
Yeah, sure.
Let's put the game back on. Let's watch some more soccer while Ralph does his showbiz beat.
Yeah, I had to turn that off.
Ralph walked into the studio and just reached up and turned off the TV.
Because your level of focus is questionable
at
best. When you're staring at me listening to me, you often miss about 80% of what I'm saying.
Playing in the rain, though.
If there's a television with soccer in the rain on, you would be gone. Coffee's for closers, Kevin. Just stay with us.
But Viva Mexico, Ralph, right?
Right.
I'm a multitasker, if anything.
Harrison Ford wanted off the set of Star Wars so badly he broke his ankle to get away from it.
That seems twisted a bit. Are you positive he wanted it off?
He didn't twist it. He broke it.
Huh.
Yeah. No, Harrison Ford was on the set of Star Wars Episode 7 when a hydraulic door from Han Solo's spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, reportedly fell down and hit him on the ankle on the set in Pinewood Studios in England. Broke his ankle. He had to be airlifted to a nearby hospital. The accident is not expected to stop the filming of the movie, although Harrison, of course, will be out of commission for a while.
Would you say it made his foot loose?
Oh! I would not say that. Harrison will be immobilized until he is healed. They're going to freeze him in carbonite until he feels better. Say doctors.
Come on, Ralph.
Have some fun.
I tried that earlier. It did not go well.
Well, frankly,
Ralph has the most difficult job here. There's no question about that.
It was very disorienting for us, for you, after years of freezing us out and not wanting to talk to us, to have all of a sudden you be all chatty. Like, well, how are we supposed to react to that? Usually you come in, head down, do your thing, and pretend we're not here.
You handled it perfectly, Bean, as always. You're unerring in your instincts and in your behavior.
Come on, we're all still having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the quality's been lacking in the second half. Really has.
This can only end badly. ABC Family has announced a new series called Freak Out.
Freak Out?
Yes. This will be a hidden camera show that will take an unsuspecting person who has an abnormally terrifying fear of something, then play a prank on them involving this phobia with elaborate special effects, intricate makeup, and actors. What could go wrong there?
Heart attack, lawsuit, lots of things could go wrong.
What's more fun than just terrifying someone who has a genuine fear of something?
Remember in Jackass, who was it that scared to death of snakes?
Bam.
Bam, yeah, and they put him in with snakes, and he about killed them.
Yeah.
And he's a prankster.
This is a guy who's part of a group, though, of people who do this. This is their living.
Yeah.
If you're going into a Starbucks.
Yeah, agreed.
And suddenly a scorpion crawls out of your coffee cup and someone's filming it. When they reveal to me that they've filmed it, somebody's dying. And rightly so. It's brought to you by that evil succubus, Sally Ann Salzano.
Oh, yeah.
The woman who brought us Jersey Shore and Party Down South.
Sure.
Wow. Apparently she's behind this one as well.
We like Sally Ann, but she may have to be put down.
Yeah, your affection for that woman is inexplicable to me.
It
really is. You guys have her, it's a good time. I say, hey, anybody remember the Jersey Shore but me? Or is it just me, the one who had to watch it every week, that I'm carrying the emotional scars? She's one of the reasons for the downfall of civilization. And you guys are like, whoa, she brought donuts. Woohoo! It's party time.
She's a very nice lady who's very entertaining.
You know what? They say Hitler was an excellent card player. You'd have a good time playing Pinochle with Hitler after hours. But on the clock, he was the worst thing ever.
By the way, Sally Ann is taking notes right now to see if there's a show in playing Pinochle with Hitler.
Pinochle with Hitler. Yes. Saw them at the Troop last week, by the way. They opened for Mystery Soup, and I really, really enjoyed their set. And while we're talking about people who are horrible, Lana Del Rey has done an interview with journalist Tim Jones in The Guardian, UK newspaper, where she mentioned that her favorite artists were Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain. He mentioned that it's interesting because they're both dead. It's an odd coincidence. And she said, I wish I were dead already. And he, of course, said, no, you don't. And she said, I do. I don't want to have to keep doing this, but I am. He asked her if she was referring to making music, and she responded with, no, everything. It's just how I feel. If it wasn't that way, I wouldn't say it. I would be scared if I knew death was coming, but I love the idea that it'd be all over. As do we, Lana Del Rey. As do we.
Why isn't she opening for Morrissey, by the way?
Yeah. She'd give him worse than a cold. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Allen is 61 years old today. Oh. We haven't done that all morning.
That's true.
Okay. Rivers Cuomo is 44 years old. Steve-O, speaking of the Jackass gang.
Yeah, dude.
He is 40 years old. Chris Evans, the star-spangled Avenger. Captain America, 33 years old today. Those Olsen girls, Mary-Kate and Ashley, are 28 years old today.
That's crazy.
They're the little girls from Full House.
And aren't they worth a baby? Aren't they worth like $1 billion each or something?
Yeah, they're ridiculously wealthy. Kat Dennings is 28 years old. And Aaron Johnson, very talented actor, is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Kings fans, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Huh?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? I need to hear you.
All right.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's nothing like wearing another man's underwear, right?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
People, please, shut up.
Roll another one.
Penis.
Just like the other one.
Why do you use offensive
words? This one seems to be about to quit.
Where's the outrage there?
And I need another hit.
Why not me? This is America.
This is
finish what I'm eating. Sorry. Wrong time to eat.
Let me tell you something I know about the Negro.
Just pass it around.
Mitt Romney says no.
Tell me what it was like being in prison.
There goes the whistle.
Yeah, the quality's been lacking in the second half. Really has.
It's a load on Friday. No work till Monday.
Well, there's no way out of this. I don't deserve this. You know, God damn it. I don't, but you do. Because you are all losers. Every mother one of you.